Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Beamich and Finley, Toby Altizer filling in for the guys, taking you up until Capitals hockey. Puck drop coming up at 1 o'clock in Ottawa as they take on the Senators. Pregame begins at 12:45. I'm with you until then. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. So, wanted to wrap up the show today, revisiting some of what I had written down preseason as talking points. I have my predictions, I have X-Factor players, and biggest questions that I had going into the year. And I think looking back at this, some of the things I was correct on, some of them I was woefully wrong on, and some of the questions, I think we got the answer, and I think that's how you end up where they're at 4-12 going into the final game of the regular season. I want to start with my predictions because I just want to laugh at how bad they are. Any guess on what I had my record being for the Commanders this season?
11-6?
Yeah.
I had 12-5, so I'm worse.
11-6. I missed that. I missed 12-5 last year. 11-6 is what I had the record being. Nope. Not even close. I'd say Jaden's stat line, but I don't... He's been injured. I had him going for about 250 more passing yards, 5 more touchdowns, 3,800 passing yards, 30 touchdowns, 8 picks, 750 rushing yards, and 8 rushing touchdowns. So a similar type season to last year. Obviously, he's missed a lot of time. I was correct in this one. The leading rusher, I said, was going to be Bill. I said he'd have around 650 yards rushing. I said that Jaden actually would be the leading rusher overall. But I feel decent about that. That, you know, Bill is the leading rusher for this team. He's currently at 776 yards. We'll see what he can do. By the way, congratulations to Bill once again. Named Rookie of the Week, fourth time this season. It's funny, he's the only guy to win it multiple times. He's not going to win Rookie of the Year. I don't know that he necessarily deserves to, but it's funny that he's not even on like any odds or anything. It's either going to go to Tet McMillan. Remember, Ibuka was the leader in the clubhouse for a long time, but he's kind of fallen off in the second half alongside the entire Buccaneers team. Tyler Shuck is making a late push for it as a quarterback. Jackson Dart, I think, is in there as well, but I don't know that he's going to win it. It's kind of a down year for Offensive Rookie of the Year because Tet McMillan might win it, but, I mean, how much has anyone talked about Tet McMillan this year? But Bill, leading the rusher, I was right about that. Said it'd be a running back by committee. I think you've kind of seen that. Leading receiver, I said, would be Terry. I said he'd go for 1,200 yards. How about that? Is there a bigger Terry McLaurin fan than me? Someone that believes in him more than me. He's currently at 34 receptions for 525 yards. Let's see, if he had played all 17 games at his current pace, how many yards would he have finished at? 58.3 per game. We multiply that by 17. He would be just shy of 1,000. So 991. So even when he's played, he's not necessarily on track for anything close to what I was thinking. And then lastly, leading sack total, I said, would be Frankie Louvu, who has had a down year. I said he would have 8 sacks. And the leading sack getter for the Commanders does have 8 sacks, but that leading sack getter is Von Miller, which is crazy to think that Von Miller at this point in his career is leading an NFL team in sacks. But predictions weren't very good. But looking back and revisiting this, I want to talk about the X factor players that I had, because I do think that when you look back at some of these things and you hash out some of the guys that you thought would be the turning point, if this guy plays well, if this guy is as good as we think he's going to be, then yeah, the season can go well. If they don't play well, then you can end up in a spot where they're at right now, where the season has turned into a disaster. I like the way that Mitch Tischler said is, you know, they hoped for the best but didn't plan for the worst. I think that's exactly what you saw this year. Like, if everything went according to plan, yeah, maybe the team could have been kind of right back where they were. But nothing really went according to plan, and they didn't have a plan for when things went wrong. So I think that's where you end up. The X-Factor Commanders that I had listed coming into the season, Terry McLaurin, we've seen what happened to him this year. Hasn't played enough. When he's been on the field, he's been Terry McLaurin for the most part, but it's not like he's been a massive game-breaking type receiver. So it's been a disappointing year for him, and the injuries have obviously played a major role in that. Running back, I said, would be Chris Rodriguez and Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt. One of those guys had to emerge. We've seen Bill have some good games, but it's been up and down for him. And C-Rod has had some good games, but he doesn't get consistent carries. I said they needed a legit rushing threat to go alongside Austin Ekeler. I don't think we talk about the loss of Austin Ekeler enough. I do think that he was a major part of their offense, and not having him there this season. Now, part of the reason that you lose Austin Ekeler is I do think that they miscalculated how they were trying to attack the running back position. I didn't have an issue moving off of Brian Robinson. Matter of fact, I was an advocate of it. So I didn't have any issue with them moving off of B-Rob. But for you to go into the season with Ekeler as RB1 to the point that you were going to give the ball to him on a full-time basis as your starting running back, I don't think that ever made sense. And for him to get hurt the way that he did obviously sucks, and I don't know that you can fully blame that on the way that he was being utilized, but missing him has been massive, and I do think that if they would have maybe tried to put something together where if they did trust Bill, which it's tough to trust a seventh-round rookie to carry the load right away in week one, but I don't know. I think that maybe if you went about that a little bit differently. But it's been nice to see both those guys step up, Chris Rodriguez and Bill, in their respective roles when they've had chances. I think you found two guys that can play for this team going forward that aren't going to be expensive. Obviously, Bill under contract for a couple more years as a seventh rounder. I really, really like what they got in Bill. Another X factor was the offensive tackle duo, Laremy Tunsil and Josh Connerly. Tunsil has been fantastic. One of the top 5 left tackles in all football. Maybe one of the top 5 overall tackles in all of football. And he's been really, really impressive. And I'm begging Adam Peters that when it comes to signing him and the contract negotiations that they're going to have this offseason, like they did with Terry, just get that one done. I know the big discussion around Terry was the age. Tunsil's old as well, but tackles tend to age better. I wish they wouldn't have done the whole Terry saga. Don't do it again with Tunsil. Just get this one done, especially giving up the draft capital that they did. I think they will get this one done, but let's not have this drama bleed over. Just get it done. And then Josh Connerly, I want to talk about him for a sec because I have been impressed by how he's come along. And I've been impressed by, you know, when you drafted this guy with the 29th overall pick, I think sometimes we don't talk enough about this because you just label a first rounder as a first rounder. And yes, that's true. But the difference between drafting a guy at 29 versus drafting a guy at number 9 is massive, especially at a position like offensive tackle. Like we talked about earlier with the positional value stuff with Caleb Downs. Who are the positions that you're always trying to get? Who are the positions that perennially go inside the top 10? Offensive tackle, quarterback, corner is going in there a lot more now, and pass rushers. When you get a guy that is one of those type of players a little bit later on in the first round or even future rounds, there's going to be big-time red flags, because if they were a safer prospect, more sure guy, then he would be, in a lot of cases, overdrafted inside the top 10, because that's what happens with those guys. It's why you see quarterbacks that, oh man, this guy's probably a second rounder, but I'll take him in the first round. I'll take him, you know, early just because I want to make sure I get that guy. That's how valuable those players are. When you drafted Connerly where you drafted him, there was an understanding that he was a little bit raw as a prospect, but you saw the foundation of a really good offensive tackle and a useful offensive tackle in the way that Cliff Kingsbury likes to run his scheme, where he's going to be able to get out on the move. He's going to be able to get out in space and set guys up in the screen game. And I think you've seen that as the year went on. It was a tough start. Also, don't forget that the gauntlet that he faced at the beginning of the year was brutal. Brutal. Having to face guys like Brian Burns and Micah Parsons and Max Crosby and guys like that right away, that's tough. And so, yeah, of course he struggled against those guys. But as the year has gone on, as he's gotten more comfortable, I think he's gotten a lot better. And seeing, you know, what he's been able to do, you know, the discussion going into the draft process and part of the draft process was, hey, you know, Connerly, he comes out early, and there was a chance that if he went back to Oregon and played, that maybe he could have been the top tackle in this year's class. And I think the way that this class has played out, that might very well be true, that he could have been someone that was going in the top 10, and maybe we would have been having a different discussion about maybe using the draft pick the Commanders have right now, wherever they pick in the top 10, inside the top 8. Maybe we're talking about drafting Connerly with that pick. But they ended up taking him where he was going to be raw, and you saw as the year went on, when he got more of that experience, got more reps under his belt, you've seen him really, really improve. So I like what they have in Josh Connerly, and I think their tackle pair is set for the foreseeable future, at least for 3 or 4 more years. And, you know, maybe down the line when it's time for Tunsil to hang it up, you just move Connerly back over to left tackle, and you've got your left tackle to pair with Jaden maybe for the entirety of his career, which obviously would be incredible value. So I like what they've gotten out of Connerly this year, even though it was off to a rough start. I think anybody that's talking about Connerly saying, oh, he's really, really bad. That he was. There's no question about it. And it's kind of tough to even out after you start so, so bad. You know, you talk about this with batting average sometimes with baseball players. If you have a bad April, you're working the entire rest of the year just to get to a respectable batting average sometimes. I think that's kind of what happened with Connerly. He had a bad weeks 1 through 6 or 7, somewhere around there, weeks 7 and 8, well, whatever you want to go through, middle of the season. And then as things started to turn around, he's been pretty good. Now, he had a rough week a couple of weeks ago, but I think overall he's been really, really good, and I'm excited to see what the future holds for Connerly. A couple of the other X-Factor guys, Marshawn Lattimore and Trey Amos. I really liked what I saw out of Trey Amos. I thought that Lattimore was kind of the linchpin in this defense as the X-Factor, that if he played well this year, that he could really improve this defense by having a number one corner. We saw that that was not the case. He made some plays, but for the most part, Lattimore looked, even though we were told, oh, he wasn't healthy last year. And, well, he was healthy this year, and it still wasn't adequate. It wasn't enough, and that trade is going to go down as a really, really poor one for Adam Peters and this organization. The final two X-Factor guys I had were Daron Payne and Javon Kinlaw. I think Payne has been fine this year. I wouldn't say that he's been spectacular, but he's been okay. But Kinlaw, man, I mean, when you sign a guy, and I've heard all the explanations. I've heard people lay out, well, you know, the $15 million and the $30 million guaranteed over the 3 years, $15 million a year. Well, it's really not as much. I get all those things. He's not worth that contract. He was never worth that contract. And this year, he has 0 sacks. 0 sacks. As many as me and Strobes. If we're paying guys for 0 sacks, give me the league minimum. I'll go step in there. And he's been able to make some plays this year. It's not that he hasn't been impactful. And I do think the way that he plays the defensive tackle position, that at times, his impact isn't necessarily going to lead to stats. That being said, he still hasn't been very good. He's made plays. He'll make flash plays. But he just has not lived up to what you were expecting out of him. Because to me, he's... And this also doesn't make any sense for fit when they sign a guy like Kinlaw. Different body types, different ways that they go about it. But to me, Kinlaw and Johnny Newton are similar in the style of how they want to play defensive tackle. They're penetrators. They're guys that are going to get up the field. They're going to try to beat their guy. They're not necessarily going to focus on stuffing the run and those sorts of things. They're going to try to get up the field and disrupt. And he's done some of that this year. He does it more so with power and a little bit of speed versus Newton, because of his size, is more so explosiveness and less about true power. But I just don't... He hasn't been nearly as impactful as you need him to be. I thought with the edge rushers that they had, they were always going to struggle to generate a pass rush. I thought if you were going to be successful this season, especially at generating pressure, it wasn't going to come from the edge rushers. It was going to come from the interior. And as a result, the edge rushers and the interior have not created the pressure necessary to be a successful NFL defense. Now, this is where it gets interesting. So the questions that I had going into the season, I want to run through these. And I think when you answer these, and it gives you a real picture as to why this season has turned out the way that it did. Because remember, I said they were going to go 11-6. I felt pretty confident going into the year. But these were the questions I had about the team going in. Number one, is the D-line actually better? And the answer is no, it's not. You lost Dante Fowler. I like some of the guys they brought in. I do like some of these older veterans that they've brought in that have helped. Von Miller's been nice, right, with what he's been able to do. Dorrance Armstrong was having a heck of a season before he got injured. Jacob Martin's been a nice revelation as a guy that could be your fourth or fifth edge rusher. I like that. But the D-line is not better. Matter of fact, I think you can make the argument the entire roster is worse than what it was. I think you can make the argument that Jaden Daniels is playing with the worst roster that he's played with in the 2 years. And that's not supposed to be how it was going to work out. But the D-line is not better. And I think that is a major factor. The defense as a whole is not better. The one to go alongside it was the secondary's good camp, fool's gold. The answer is yes. I had felt that, you know, the discussion prior to the season was odd to me in that a lot of people were thinking that the front was better and that that was going to help the secondary. I kind of felt the opposite. I thought the secondary was going to help the front. Turns out neither helped either. Turned out both were bad. But I actually believed in the secondary, and they looked good in training camp. And I think we're now finding out that either training camp didn't mean anything, which I don't think that it did, and the receivers were really, really bad because they were going up against... Don't forget, one of the receivers that was in training camp was Michael Gallup. Don't forget that. Guy that came out of retirement, didn't crack the 53, is just going to go back into retirement. Michael Gallup, that's who they were facing in training camp. So maybe it's no wonder that they look good, but they haven't looked good in the regular season. I got a couple more questions that I had before the season started. Going back and looking, I kind of think we see where it went wrong for this team this year. Not that we didn't already know, but I thought the team was going to be good this year. I had these questions going in, and these questions kind of popped up and been a big reason why the team has ended up where they're at. We'll wrap those up next and get you set for Caps Hockey here on The Fan.
You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a paper listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Right now is your last chance to shop Blinds.com's year-end blowout sale. Save up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a free professional measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, Toby Altizer in for the guys today with you for about another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll turn it over to John Walton, Capitals Hockey, as they get set to take on the Senators this afternoon, 1 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 12:45. Wrapping up the show, though, we were talking about some stuff that, as I was going back through my notes and just planning out the show, I like to keep various things that I've talked about just to be able to go back and do similar stuff like this and just see what I was talking about, see what some of the discussions were, and be able to have like a resolution to some of the things. And the questions that I had going into the year I thought were interesting, because I think even though I had confidence in this team, like I said, the prediction that I had for this team was 11-6. The questions that I had for the team or about the team kind of played out to a point where you see how they ended up where they're at. Even though I had confidence, the questions I had went the wrong way, and then you end up in a spot where they're just with four wins. So the first question I had, like I talked about last segment, is the D-line actually better? It was not. Was the secondary's good camp fool's gold? It was. After that, who stepped up or who will step up as linebacker depth? I haven't really seen. I mean, Jordan McGee's done some nice things when he's had opportunities, but Bobby Wagner has taken a major step back this year. Still going to be one of the top in the league in tackles, but in pass coverage, he's become an absolute liability. And you haven't been able to get Jordan McGee on the field enough, in my opinion. So I think he stepped up, but I don't know the full answer to that, because behind Jordan McGee, and we'll see what happens with Wagner, if this is his last year, if he comes back again, but in a reduced role, I don't know. But you've got Luvu and McGee, and then you got to figure out linebacker after that. How much does better offensive tackles open up the offense was another question I had. Turns out, you know, with the other injuries around the team and the inconsistency of at the quarterback position with the injuries there and not the same level of play, it really didn't do a whole lot to open up the offense, even though I do think the offensive line this year has played quite well. Can the improved offensive line lead to an effective run game? And again, I talked about this with Doc yesterday. It's interesting because I'm one that tends to rely on my eyes and what I see over what the numbers will say. And if there is a conflict there, I'm going to still lean towards what my eyes see, because numbers generally are a good indicator of what things are, but sometimes they can lie. And when you look at this team this year, they're one of the top five rushing teams in the league. But I just don't get that feeling when I watch them. They've had some big games running the football. Bill had a really good game on Christmas running the football. But I just don't think of them as good a run team this year as I even did last year. And I think as this season's gone on, I think next year what I want to see is a team that's able to be more along the lines of what Baltimore has done, and not maybe this year in particular, but in previous seasons with Derrick Henry, where, yes, they don't have a Derrick Henry and Burgundy and Gold here, but being able to turn around and just hand the football off, I think it takes pressure off of your quarterback physically, because he's not involved in the play, so he's not going to get hit. There's no chance of him getting hit. That's why I'm talking about truly just turning around and handing the ball off. I'm not saying running an RPO. I'm not saying running a read option. Those are still going to be part of the playbook, but I don't want to major in that as my run game. I want to be able to just turn around and say, halfback dive, let's go. And that's something that I want to see more going into next year, because you allow him to take the play off physically. He's not going to get hit. You also allow him a little bit of a chance to just take a break mentally as well. Just a simple as long as we're in the right look here, snap the football, turn around, hand it off. All right, let's just try to work from ahead of the change as well and not get behind them. And I think it just allows a little bit of a reset there. So I like the O-line. I have seen an improved O-line this year, and I actually think that their strength going forward, going into next year, and why when people lay out, hey, draft Jeremiah Love, I wouldn't do it, but they're in a better position to do it than, say, the Raiders were last year, right? Where the Raiders drafted Ashton Jeanty and they didn't have an offensive line that was ready to do it. If Washington drafted Jeremiah Love, they would be set up to use him effectively, in my opinion. So I wouldn't do it, but it's not like it'd be the craziest thing ever and they would see it backfire immediately. The last question that I had, can the Commanders wide receiver stay healthy and who steps up if there is an injury? Which is crazy to think that this was one of my questions going into the year and look how it's played out. And the reason that this was a question I had going into the year, their initial 53, their wide receiver room on their initial 53 was Terry McLaurin, Deebo Samuel, Noah Brown, Luke McCaffrey, Jalen Lane. And most of those guys have dealt with injuries this year. If you look at what they've gotten, ironically, Deebo Samuel, who has had injury concerns throughout his career, he's been fine. He's played 15 games this year, gone for 707 receiving yards, and been, at times this season, their best weapon. So he stayed healthy. Noah Brown has not, but I'm shocked that they thought he would. I get that it's just an initial 53 and it's a living, breathing organism where it's going to change week in, week out, and they'll make adjustments as necessary. And with the new rules, the practice squad, even though a guy might not technically be on the 53, he's still going to be able to help the team out on a week-to-week basis by being elevated. I get all those things, but Terry McLaurin, you could count on. Deebo, you didn't feel great going into the season, and ironically, those two have kind of flipped, where Deebo was the reliable one playing on a week-in, week-out basis. Terry was injured and missed a majority of the season. Noah Brown, though, I don't know why you ever felt like he was going to be ready. By the way, he's been injured throughout his career. He is injury-prone, but he was also injured in OTAs to the point that we thought he was out. We thought he was gone. And then he didn't practice during training camp. So I still don't understand that plan of Noah Brown. And so in my opinion, that's an Adam Peters thing. He doesn't get off the hook for that being one of his plans. And then in turn, behind him was Luke McCaffrey and Jalen Lane. I like Jalen Lane a lot. I've talked plenty about him. I still believe that he's going to be an effective weapon for this team going forward. But to rely on a fourth-round rookie right away to step in and have to play more of a role, it's just asking a bit much. It's one of those things where, can he? Maybe. Can he do it? Maybe. Should you rely on him to do it? Probably not. That's why sometimes you have to make some of these security insurance type of signings. And then you look back and go, well, we could have maybe not signed that player. Okay, yes, maybe, but what if? Like, again, going back to the hoping for the best, planning for the worst. Well, when Luke McCaffrey is now stepping in as wide receiver 3, and Jalen Lane has to step in as wide receiver 4 because you didn't plan for the fact that Noah Brown was going to go down, or maybe they did plan for it, and their plan was Luke McCaffrey to step into that role. And he didn't show anything in year 1. To his credit, he improved in year 2 and was actually becoming a reliable wide receiver before he got hurt. I just didn't like their plan at wide receiver. And in turn, where you get to the spot where I was asking if they could stay healthy, the answer is no. And then who steps up if there's an injury? And the answer essentially has been nobody. Like the answer has been Chris Moore. They had to go sign Treylon Burks. I mean, it's been a disaster. I mean, Robbie Chosen is playing wide receiver at times for this team. Tate Martin played a couple of times. Jacoby Jones. That's where you got with this season. And I think looking back at those questions kind of shows you how, even though I had confidence going into this year with this team, it showed, okay, that's how you get to the spot where you're at. That's how you get to where you're at, where this season has gone off the rails to the point that it's become a disaster and one that you want to forget immediately. You wish it was over 5-6 weeks ago. That's going to do it for us here on B. Mitch and Finley. Appreciate Strobes doing all the hard work behind the scenes. Coming up next, Caps Hockey. They'll take on the Sens. Appreciate you listening. Happy New Year, Caps and Sens, next here on The Fan.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
I meant those blackout motorized shades.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. I installed these and then got some from my mom. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Hall of Fame son.
They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Blinds.com is the GOAT.
Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off site-wide and free professional installation. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
The holidays are behind us and school routines are back. Now is the time to help your kids start the new semester strong. IXL helps students refresh what they learned in the fall so they head into the new year feeling confident and prepared. With new units and new goals, IXL is the simplest way to build better habits and stay on top of lessons without the stress. As teachers dive into new material, kids can practice those exact same skills at home to make sure the lessons really stick. IXL is an award-winning platform covering math, language arts, science, and social studies for pre-K through 12th grade. It's personalized, interactive, and actually fun. Keep your kids motivated for the second half of the year at IXL.com. Don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.